Swam
Vanda
Na
Sandarshito
Sandarshito
Hatra
Hatra
Dustaram
Dustaram
Vishitir Shatam
Vishitir Shatam
Kalim
Kalim
Sattvaharam
Sattvaharam
Pumsam
Pumsam
Karnatara
Karnatara
Divarnavam
Divarnavam
Keystone. Isn't it supposed to be adjusted so that it's...
Yes, right. But for that I'll have to pull it behind and we don't have enough fire.
Okay. I thought that's what that little adjustment was for, though.
So. Yes, right. I used it for the other purpose of just making it bigger.
Okay. Vam na sandarshito dhatra
Vam na sandarshito dhatra
Dustaram Dustaram nistitirshatam
Dustaram nistitirshatam
Kalim sattvaharam pungsam
Kalim sattvaharam pungsam
Karnatara ivarnavam
Karnatara ivarnavam
Vam na sandarshito dhatra
Vam na sandarshito dhatra
Dustaram nistitirshatam
Dustaram nistitirshatam
Dustaram nistitirshatam
Dustaram nistitirshatam
Kalim sattvaharam pungsam
Kalim sattvaharam pungsam
Karnatara ivarnavam
Karnatara ivarnavam
Tvam na sandarshito dhatra
Tvam na sandarshito dhatra
Dushtaram nishtirshatam
Dushtaram nishtirshatam
Kalim sattvaharam pumsam
Kalim sattvaharam pumsam
Karnathara ivarnavam
Karnathara ivarnavam
Svam na sandarshito dhatra
Svam na sandarshito dhatra
Dustaram nishtir satam
Dustaram nishtir satam
Kalim sattvaharam pumsam
Kalim sattvaharam pumsam
Karnadhara ivarnavam
Karnadhara ivarnavam
Ladies
Tvam na sandarshito dhatra
Dustaram nistirshatam
Kalim sattvaharam pumsam
Karnathara ivarnavam
Tvam
Your goodness.
Your goodness.
Naha.
Naha.
Unto us.
Unto us.
Sandarshitaha.
Sandarshitaha.
Meeting.
Meeting.
Tatra.
Tatra.
By providence.
By providence.
Dustaram.
Dustaram.
Insurmountable.
Insurmountable.
Nistitirshatam.
Nistitirshatam.
For those desiring to cross over.
For those desiring to cross over.
Kalim,
Kalim,
the age of Kali,
the age of Kali,
Sattvaharam,
Sattvaharam,
that which deteriorates the good qualities,
that which deteriorates the good qualities,
Pumsam,
Pumsam,
of a man,
of a man,
Karnataraha,
Karnataraha,
captain,
Captain.
Iva.
Iva.
As.
As.
Arnavam.
Arnavam.
The ocean.
The ocean.
We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence. Just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Take some water.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's just not the case that I promised this.
Purport.
The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities.
A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. People are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there's no need for self-realization, because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey toward self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Sukta Goswami, or his bona fide representative, as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam.
I'll request everybody to please switch off their mobiles or turn them on silent.
Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Niditam Pena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pistam Stapitam Jena Pupale Shvayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapalantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Bhutam Chagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatham Dittam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Raghunatham Sri Vishakam Pitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vancha kolpatarubhyascha kapasindhobhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavinna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It continues to run the fan because it's
cool. Yes, I'm just going to switch it off. Can I switch it off now? Because it will reduce the noise a little bit.
That's good. Tam na sandarshita tatra. Tvam na sandarshito natra dustaram atitir shatam kalim sattvahara pumsam karnathara ivarnamat. The Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken to the sages of Naimisharanya,
who had gathered for a big sacrifice at that holy place. And they had the opportunity to hear from the senior-most among them, Srila Sutta Goswami. Srila Sutta Goswami, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken earlier to King Parikshit, just on the verge of his death. And Srila Sutta Goswami had the opportunity to be present on that occasion when Srila Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyas, spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. So having heard from Sukadeva Goswami, and also being highly qualified himself, he was now able to convey the message of Srimad Bhagavatam to the assembled sages. Highly qualified is also explained by the sages. Bruyu snigdhasya shishasya guruve gurumakita. Because you're very humble and submissive, your spiritual masters have blessed you with all the realization reserved for a gentle disciple. So Sutta Goswami had that qualification. He was also the eldest member of the society, of the assembly. He was highly learned. So from all angles of vision, he was highly qualified to speak. Above all, he was a devotee of the Lord. So now the sages, who've been expressing their eagerness to hear, finally say that we think that we've met you by the will of providence. Tatra, by the will of providence. Only a fortunate person gets the opportunity to hear about Krishna. Ramanda Pramite Kon Pagimaji. Guru Krishna Prasad Evai Bhakti Mata Abhiraj. There are innumerable living entities wandering around the universe in different species of life. Out of them, some fortunate living being, by the grace of the Krishna and the grace of the spiritual master, get the opportunity to get the seed of devotional service in the form of spiritual understanding received. So the sages are expressing that it's by the will of providence that we've met you. By good fortune, one can say, by the grace of God. The sages have come in touch with such a great soul as Sutta Goswami. The dustaram nistitirshatam. The sages describe themselves as desiring to cross this very difficult ocean. Out of so many, there are so many human beings who aren't interested in crossing over the ocean of material existence. They like it. They want to dive into the ocean. They want to enjoy water sports in the ocean of birth and death. But the sages, therefore the mamamaya dracaya, the illusory energy of the Lord, is very difficult to overcome. Why? Because we don't desire to overcome it. Maya has two potencies, the throwing potency and the covering potency. By the throwing potency, we're cast down into this material existence, and by the covering potency, we think it's nice. Even the pigeon, even the dog, even the hog think, not a bad life. Hog is eating stool, wallowing in the muck. But he's got a big smile on his face. He thinks it's nice. This is Maya. The Maya doesn't have to chain the living being. The living being volunteers. Let me be, let me stay here forever. But the sages, Nistatirshadam, they desire to cross over the ocean, although it's very difficult. Why is it very difficult? This ocean is specifically the ocean of Kali Yuga. Kaler Doshanid Hei Raja. It's like an ocean of troubles, an ocean of faults. Sattvahara. Sattva means good qualities. And hara means taking away, which Srila Prabhupada uses a very apt word, deteriorates. It's not that Kali just takes away all the good qualities, deteriorates them. There's something, then little less, little less, little less, little less. We hardly even notice. If your money were all of a sudden taken away, you'd say, hey, what happened to my money? But every day a little is lost, a little lost, a little lost, a little lost. You hardly notice, but then gradually you don't have anything. But good qualities, the good qualities of the human being, sama, dhamma, tapa, shocha, tadiksha, arjava, these qualities are gradually eaten away by the atmosphere of Kali Yuga. For Kali, the personality of Kali was given permission to live in four places. Dyutam, Panam, Striyam, Shunam, Yatra, Tharam, Chaturvita. Where there's gambling, where there's illicit sex, where there's meat eating, and where there's intoxication. Kali is permitted to cause his trouble. And these places are now found all over the world, everywhere. Even previously Dubai was a strict Islamic kind of a place. Now you see Chinese girls in miniskirts getting off at work. Getting off work at 3 a.m. Drinking, gambling, I think in Islam drinking is also forbidden. But that's officially. So in Hindus they're also drinking. In Dubai also they tell me that the AIDS is quite prevalent in the Indian community also. It's not a question of Hindu, Muslim. It's a question of Kali or not Kali. Degraded or not degraded. In the Kali Yuga, it doesn't matter. One may be Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Practically everyone is degraded. I was talking with some Christian pastors the other day in Nairobi, and one of them, a young fellow, kind of a in-training fellow, and we were discussing these principles. Again, what's wrong with meat eating? What's wrong with it? The person is supposed to be a religious person, but has to ask, well, what's wrong with killing animals? God put them here for us. God put them here for us. I asked him that they said God gave man dominion over the animals. Dominion means from dominance, king. What kind of king is it that eats the citizens? But they're going on like this. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex. And when these four things are there, all the other good qualities deteriorate also. Prabhupada comments, people lose their memory, their finer sentiments, strength, better qualities, longevity, goes on and on, how Kali Yuga becomes degraded. People are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. In Dubai, again, just because it's nearby, a couple of years back when I was there, the news was in the paper that the king said, I want my people to have the highest standard of living in the world. He didn't say, I want them to have the highest standard of spiritual realization in the world, or the highest standard of devotion to Allah in the world. I want them to have the highest standard of living. That means sense gratification. The king's goal is that the people should have the maximum in sense gratification. In this way, the leaders of society, the kings, the presidents, are misleading the people. The importance of self-realization is pushed to the side. The Prabhupada points out the educational institutions with not very flattering words. If one thinks it over, a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouse of so-called education. That's a strong indictment. The education is pushed. Education, education. Can't get anywhere without education. But what is this education? What do they become educated to do? What do they become educated to understand? The human life is meant for spiritual realization. Is that what they're taught in these schools and colleges? If anything, they're taught to disregard spiritual realization. That is, everything else is important, but God consciousness is, that's you do in your spare time, of which we don't give you any. We're busy training you how to become a shudra. Shudra means a person who's simply employed to do the bidding of others. That's shudra. Paricharyatmaka karma. Sudrasyapi saparicharya. Simply to carry out the orders of others is the business of the shudra. And the modern education trains a person to become a shudra. No spiritual realization. And simply working hard, working hard, working hard. Prabhupada says, taking his degree in his teeth and going from door to door like a dog, please take me, please take me, please take me. And that, apart from the cultural values found in the schools and colleges. Schools and colleges basically means illicit sex, intoxication, eating, gambling. You see what student life is. And not only in the West, I have some friends in in Karnataka, there's one.
Manipal.
Manipal, exactly. I was talking to some friends from Manipal, and they were telling me what student life is in Manipal. It's like student life in New York City. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex. These four things. As a routine way of life. And that means finished. Even materially degraded. Even materially degraded. for the men to become simply prostitute hunters and the women to become simply prostitutes. What kind of life is that? That's not even human life. And this is the this is what one learns at the university. Maybe he comes from a village or a small town. He really doesn't know what life is about. By the time he's finished with 4 years of college, he knows very well what life is about. All kinds of degradation. So, and the parents are very eager to send their children to the schools and colleges so that they can get ahead. Therefore, Prabhupada says, intentionally sent to the slaughterhouse of so-called education. Intentionally sent. And if we say that you send your son to the Gurukul so that he can become Krishna conscious, God conscious, and go back home, back to Godhead, it's going to ruin his life. Prabhupada, before coming to America, he said, I approached so many men. You have three or four sons. You give one son for being trained in Krishna consciousness. That's it. Intentionally. Sent to the slaughterhouse of modern education. By the influence of Kali. Kali is in charge. If you go to the office of the chief man at the college or the university, Kali is sitting there in the chair. Kali is sitting there. So the age is so bad. So bad. So many things can be said about how the age deteriorates the good qualities of the human being. An age in which mothers are encouraged to abort, that is to say, kill the child in the womb. The finer sentiments of the human, well, that's not even the finer sentiment, that's even the animals have that sentiment to take care of their children. And the advanced human being wants to kill the child in the womb. In the name of controlling population, this and that. All degradation. And the children, now why should they be studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam? Why should they learn these verses? They can spend their time on computer games and, you know, play with 10,000 other children online and kill terrorists or whatever it is that the game is about. And that's very good. And kill their, that's the opportunity at that age. The mind is like a sponge, it will just soak up so much. So the actual Vedic system is Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasantanta Purovita. From the very beginning, the child should be trained to control the mind, to control the senses, to become a devotee of God. But instead, computer games and so many ways for wasting his valuable energy. So, the sages say, Kalim Sattvahara Pumsam Karnadhara Karnathara Ivarna. To cross this very difficult ocean of Kali, we're very fortunate that we have met such a person as Srila Sutta Goswami. Karnathara. Karnathara means captain. Some place it's said with the human body is like a boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. And the message of the Shastras is the favorable breeze. And the spiritual master is the captain. Anyone who's on a boat without a captain is lost. It's like being in a stone boat. It's not going to cross anything. So the captain is required. We require the guidance of the self-realized devotee. If we are serious about crossing the ocean of Kali, if we want to stay in the ocean of Kali and enjoy what Kali has to offer, then no need of a spiritual master. Although people are so foolish, they approach a spiritual master for that. A spiritual master who will encourage them to do whatever they want. A so-called guru who encourages them in illicit sex. Or a so-called guru who just does magic tricks, producing some ash or producing some this or that. Or there's some guru who's encouraging, there's some guru, he's very much appreciated in Vrindavan. He has his headquarters in Vrindavan. He's very much appreciated in Delhi because he's some sort of mystic yogi. He's able to do very well at picking good stocks. So businessmen, merchants in Delhi, they think, oh, he's a very good guru. He has some mystic power. A good stock picker becomes a guru. Or so many other things. Someone becomes a guru because he can teach you the art of how to live. What is the art of how to live? Oh, be a good person. Nothing substantial. No substance, no shastric knowledge. No anything. Just some feel-good words. Love, duty, service, happiness. And throw those words out. And just like in business, you can say, we're selling quality, efficiency, productivity. You throw out those words. Well, what does the thing do? Well, it doesn't really do anything. But we throw some words around: quality, productivity, blah, 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 blah. So in the spiritual, in the guru business, throw out words like love, peace, happiness, peace of mind, kindness. Or even in the guru business, they throw out productivity. You chant this mantra, you'll be more effective as a person. You'll see your grades will improve. Your married life will be more substantial. You'll do better on the job. Even in the guru, in the spiritual realm, they're hawking productivity. Chant our mantra, you'll be more productive. You'll make more money. And as your sense gratification will improve. And people think it's very good. They'll pay money for a mantra. They'll pay money. It's a small investment for a big return. So the guru does quite well for himself. Builds a big organization. This is another feature of Kali Yuga, that even the so-called gurus, even the so-called kings, even the so-called parents, become agents of Kali. When I was just sometime after I joined, there were one of my godbrothers and godsisters, he was brahmachari, she was a young girl, high school girl. So then it was proposed that they could get married. But the mother objected. The mother said that she's too young. First she should have experience with different boys, and then she should get married. You know, if she hasn't played the field, how will she know what a good husband is? So she's too young, first she should have experience. So Prabhupada said, just see, the mother wants the daughter to become a prostitute. Well, this is Kali Yuga. This is Kaliyuga. Sattvahara. Instead of good qualities, we get the qualities of passion and ignorance, rajaguru and tamaguru, which lead to unhappiness and illusion. So, by the grace of Krishna, the sages had the opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master, a qualified devotee of Krishna who could explain the science. So they expressed their eagerness to hear from him. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions?
But what alternative do parents have if the education system is bad?
I have lots of alternatives. There's homeschooling. We have one family in America. They homeschooled their son. Then when he went to university, he entered the university like at an age that would be like your first year of high school. And then he went to Oxford and got a PhD at a very young age. And he never went to school. Just he was taught by the parents. Otherwise, Gurukul system is there, just like in Mayapur, our Gurukul is there.
Maharaj, the question that we have is that if one was to send one to Gurukul and or to send to homeschooling, and for whatever reason, moving forward, the child is not able to practice 24 hours of devotional service and he has to go back to mainstream. Now, exceptional boys may be able to adjust quickly, perform well as well, but ordinary, average children, how would they be able to adjust to a system?
Maybe they can't adjust, that's good. Maybe they can't adjust, that's good. But apart from that, we're under the illusion that if you go to school you'll make a lot of money, or you'll do well, or you'll be happy. It doesn't work that way. It's according to your karma. I have a friend. I gave a similar sort of negative talk about schools and universities in Florida one time. And after the... Because actually the question was asked by one mother. The child really wasn't that interested in going to college. She wasn't very interested in sending to school, but everybody's pushing the kid should go to college. Kid, she thought, you know, do I have to do this? So I took her side, of course. And I made this point that according to your karma, you'll make what you're meant to make. This Steve Jobs, head of Apple Computer, he never did college. And he's one of the richest men in the world. So I was talking that way. Or you'll make $1 million if it's your karma and lose it all. Or somebody. And after I gave the talk, one devotee was sitting in the back, Radhajiva, he's a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So I asked him, you know, did you go to college? He said, no, much to my father's chagrin, I dropped out during my first year to join the Hare Krishna movement. And he lived for so many years as a brahmachari. Then he got married. Then he started a business. And right away it became, in a short while, $1 million business. Because he's Marwadi. it's his destiny. If you're Marwadi and you start a business, it has to be big and successful. Doesn't matter that you dropped out of college, doesn't matter this, that. If it's your destiny, you'll make $1 million. And someone else, he can work, he can attend graduate school, postgraduate school, post, whatever it is, and still remain struggling. Or, as in so many cases, you make a lot of money and you're miserable. Because there's no spiritual realization. And money doesn't lead to happiness. Sense gratification doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to frustration. Therefore, you have the United States of America. Everybody's super educated. Not everybody, but so much education. Education coming out of your ears. You've got college on every street corner, practically speaking, and everybody's going to college. Are they happy? Is America full of happy, smiling people? Frustrated. I have a disciple who's in the, he's a chemical engineer, he's working for a big pharmaceutical company, Merck, one of the big outfits. So I asked him, you know, what are they working on? I always get an update on the company. I don't own stock, but still, what are they working on? So naturally they're working on, you know, the next big thing, the next big drug. And what's the next big drug? Well, where there's the biggest market is, that's where you put your energy. It doesn't make sense to spend, you know, millions and billions of dollars on some disease that 15 people have. You go for the big one. So what are they working on? Antidepressants. Because I think the figure is like 1 out of 5 Americans is clinically depressed. And the other 4 are just normally depressed. Yeah, they've got so much money. They've got press a button and it's on your desk. They've got no restrictions in sex. Only restriction is that you have to use one of those little devices so that you don't get AIDS. Apart from that, that's called responsible sex. Doesn't matter how degraded, who, what, man, woman, two men, two women, dog, whatever you want. But as long as you're using this little thing, then it's responsible sex. Safe sex. Well, they have all facility for that. They have every computer facility in the world. They have so much money. They have malls that are like cathedrals. And they're depressed. Why? 4 years of education and so many years of graduate school, and I'm depressed. And what do we measure success in? And I'm concerned that, you know, my child may not fit in to that. Okay? We're meant for a different kind of life. This is not human life. This is not what human life is for. Simply earning money, spending money, earning money, spending money. Human life is meant for spiritual realization. That's the real thing.
As you mentioned about destiny, what role does this present life's activities have?
Yeah, we create our destiny for the next life. If we act in degradation in this life, we'll, next life we'll collect more degradation.
So does it have, for example, if I study, if I try to work hard on my education, I can get a good job?
Yeah.
So that's
maybe, if it's your destiny, because there may be, of course, study is favorable for getting a good degree is favorable for getting a good job, but if it's in your destiny, the whole thing can be ruined. I had a high school friend, good-looking, intelligent, popular, everything, and when he, in his early 20s, he was hit by a car and paralyzed for the rest of his life. There's one young man known to our society, born of one of the very, very richest families in the world. And at an early age, he got involved with some young woman, and I don't remember the details, whether she rejected him or whatever it was. They committed suicide. parents were crushed. And education he had, money in unbelievable quantities, anything he might want, and committed suicide. So it's not a guarantee that you went to college, your life will be happy. There's no such thing. Not even guaranteed that you'll earn money. There's so many students, they go to college, they specialize in such and such thing, and by the time they've graduated, either that thing is no longer of interest, or everybody has figured out that that's the thing to be into, and now, you know, he's expendable because there's 10,000 other guys like him lining up for the same job. So then he has to go back to school and train in something he can make money at. Have you know any cases like that?
Yes.
Well, you're such a case. There's so many cases like that. They go through so much trouble to learn something, and either they learn something they're interested in, and then kind of down the line they figure out, well, what I was interested in is not marketable. Or they go for something marketable, and by the time they're finished, it's no longer marketable. And of course, by the time they've finished getting a marketable skill, how much in debt are they? Right? Student loans, da 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 da. They're already in, you know, they're 22 and in debt. That's a whole different story. The modern society is entirely debt-oriented. You're encouraged. To become a student means to go into debt. Practically. Unless you're brilliant, you got a scholarship, or your parents are rolling in cash. For most students, it means to go into debt. And then then you have to go to work just to pay off your debt. And of course, the banks have trained them up that, all right, now you're paying off your student loan, but you're working, and you want to be happy. So you need so many things, and you can't afford them. But that's not a problem, because you can just charge it. Put it on your credit card. And pay us 18% interest. You know, what kind of education? You know, people are going, studying finance, blah, 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 business, and they're buying something and paying 18% interest? Where's your brain? Where is your brain, dude? 18% interest, isn't it? 16, 18, more? For something I don't need. There was some, in Back to Godhead, in the Indian edition, there was an article written by one of our devotees in Bombay who's in finance. And he just did a little calculation between buying your own home and paying the interest and just, you know, sort of making do, living with your parents or whatever it is, till you're clear. You came out way ahead not buying your own home. The interest is crushing. But everything is buy your car, buy your home, buy your this, buy your that, on credit, and pay enormous sums in interest. Because the entire economy is built on debt. The more there's debt, the more the economy is growing. And that becomes a whole topic in itself, how money is created just out of debt. But these banks and are after you. Take a credit card. Please take a credit card. Please take another credit card. Please transfer your balance from that credit card to this credit card. Because the more that you create debt, the more the bank prospers. It doesn't prosper on your thriftiness, your self-restraint, your careful consideration. It flourishes on your going into debt. And therefore people are trained. You know, what college kid doesn't have a credit card? And what college kid doesn't use it to buy things that he doesn't need and can't afford? As just one of the things people learn in college. They're being taught, supposedly they're going to college to learn how to earn a living. But meanwhile they're being taught how to buy stuff they don't need and pay 18% interest. It's a trick. They're being fooled. Who but a fool would buy things that he doesn't need and pay 18% interest to have them? Is it sane, even? Is it financially smart? Is it the sign of a well-educated person? It's not even smart. And yet, every well-educated person is spending money for things he doesn't need and paying 18% interest. Not everybody, but so many. Western America is full of people, you know, moving their balance from here to there because it's too much here and they're chasing it, losing their homes because it was all purchased on promises and money they didn't have, paid back at rates that were exorbitant, and with the risk of losing everything. The bank wins twice. It gets your 18% for as long as you can pay it, and then gets your property, the property back. And this is apart from people who are being trained to do vicious things. Who's the number one employer of PhDs in the world?
Credit card companies?
No.
Intel?
No. Number one employer of PhDs in the world.
Pharmaceutical?
No. United States Central Intelligence Agency. And yes.
That's the CIA.
CIA, yes. If my informants are correct about the statistics and so on, United States Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, is the biggest employer in the world. And their business, of course, is not simply to collect intelligence. Their business is, what do they call it? Well, special ops, but, you know, aggression. Their business is warfare. Their business is warfare, assassinations, and, you know, apart from gathering intelligence and all the usual stuff. Things that we can't even talk about, things that wouldn't even be believed. You know, on a viciousness level of 1 to 10, it's someplace near 14. Your kid goes to school and he gets a PhD and he learns how to create better biological weapons, better nuclear weapons, better this weapon, better that weapon. I mean, just look at your employment. Where is half the national tax money go?
Defense.
Yeah, and which of course is a a euphemism. Defense means war. So half the money that your government collects, they're spending on weaponry. Weaponry and warfare. So, you know, you go where the employment is. Even college professors and so on, who are they working for? You know, if he's in engineering, if he's in chemical, if he's in this, he's that. So often he's working for the government. Or his research is sponsored by the government. Why? Out of benevolence? Because it contributes to warfare. So many of your universities wouldn't exist if it weren't for the Department of Defense of the United States of America. And their funding would dry up. I was on a plane with one fellow. He was happy to sit next to me because he was really interested in, you know, religious, spiritual kind of stuff. And he's interested in all religions, but he considers himself a Buddhist. Okay. Talking about that. Okay, and what do you do? He said, I'm in software. I said, no. You write programs, or what do you do? He says, well, actually, I work for the government. Turns out his job is designing tanks. He's a Buddhist. Ahimsa. And his occupation is designing tanks. I asked him if he saw any sort of contradiction there. And he said, well, I like to think that I'm making the tanks safer for our men. I said, okay. He said, but the guys on the other side of the barrel may not see it that way. I asked him how many people he thought had been lost in the Iraq War. And take a guess. It's on 10,000, 20,000. At that time, the figure was about 900,000. This is not being done by people who don't have an education. The most brilliant, well-educated people in the world are employed in such things. The strategy, the physical technology, logistics, and all the other stuff net to be able to destroy 900,000. Now it's probably closer to 1.5 million people. So that you, vested interests can grab the resources of the place and occupy the most geopolitically strategic location. These are not uneducated people who are doing these things. They're extremely well educated and extremely smart. But what are they directing their intelligence to? Destruction. And then you've got people working in advertising agencies, and what's their job? Their job is to work for the government and make it seem nice. You know, we're protecting democracy. We're fighting, you know, radical Islam. We're protecting you from Osama bin Laden. We're doing so many things. You know, so you got guys working overtime, turning your vicious greed into something benevolent for popular consumption. Or if they're not working for the government, then they're working for the liquor companies, they're working for the cigarette companies. Pick up any magazine and see who the main advertisers are. It's not the Sisters of Charity. And that's somebody's making a living. You know, selling cigarettes, selling death, essentially. Selling liquor, which is another form of death. Selling everything by sex. And assisting Kali in degrading all the good qualities of the human being. So and become a well-integrated member of these things, it's not necessarily a good credit. Okay, education is fine, but more important is spiritual values. If you're well-educated and you have no spiritual values, what's the use of your life? It's a failure. You'll be vicious in this life and go to hell in the next. And even if someone is poor, even if someone is, you know, can't afford very much, if he's spiritually advanced, he'll be happy in this life. And in the next life, be elevated and go back to God. You know, what is human life for? Is it for making a lot of money and dying? Make a lot of money, gratify your senses nicely, and die. Is that life? But people don't know what life is for, and therefore they're depressed. I'm frustrated, I'm depressed, I'm 50%. I mean, talk. What's material happiness? Material happiness means a husband, wife, a few kids. Right? That's the standard issue idea of happiness. 50% of the people in America are divorced. So where's the material happiness? Even materially, forget spiritual realization. What kind of material happiness do they have? And then they have to, the guys, now he's married to one good woman, he's divorced from the other, he's paying for both. Right? No benefit, and still you have to pay. Again, it's fiscally stupid. Forget everything else. He's got a wife, a former wife, who's of no use to him whatsoever, except to spend his money. And now he's married a second one, and when he divorces her, he's going to marry a third one. Where's the question of happiness? And then you've got children who, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays they're with their mother, and on the other days they're with their father. I meet such kids on the airplane. Where are you going? To Houston. What's in Houston? My daddy. Mommy's in New York, and then daddy's in Houston, and every few months he can go visit the other one. And what kind of happiness does he have? Therefore, it's a wrong kind of civilization. Because it's, where does this come? Sense gratification. It's not, you know, what is my duty as a human being? What is the purpose of life? It's not getting married so that, because that's dharma, and you raise children to become liberated souls. None of that. It's just sense gratification, like the dogs and monkeys. And the result is frustration. The result is frustration. So this is the real education. Adhyatma vidya vidyana. Krishna says of all kinds of education, I'm spiritual education. It's not that back in those days there was no education. There was education in you know, Kshatriyas were educated. Dronacharya was a big acharya for all the Pandavas. They were all received their education and that. The education was there in all the departments, but Krishna says of all the different kinds of education, spiritual education. That's without that, everything else is a failure. With that, a child might survive the material education. Without that, he's just being sent to the slaughterhouse of so-called education. That's the word Prabhupada uses. Just have children and send them off to the slaughterhouse. No spiritual education. What is his life? And spiritual education is essential. It's not that no education. We just want everybody to be illiterate No. But without spiritual education, life is a failure. Children are being set up to be victimized by Kali Yuga. Most important. Shall we stop here?
Yes.
I'll ask if somebody else has any questions.
Does anybody else? I can ask. Does anyone else have any questions?
Maharaj, can I ask one last question? Maharaj, in the purport it was mentioned that Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are like the boat, and the spiritual master is the captain. So if we're sitting in the boat and there's a captain, what is our role? What role do we have to perform?
We have to stay in the boat. You don't have to steer the boat, you just have to stay in it. The boat is the message of Krishna. We have to hear the message of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and follow. The captain also gives some instructions, you know, now everybody should do this, now everybody should do that. We don't take boats much anymore, but in the airplanes, you know, fasten your seat belts and whatever it is that you have to do. And then you get there. You know, the captains these days, the captains are all aviators. So, anyway, get the idea. We have to follow the instructions of the expert captain. And then he'll see to it that we cross the boat, cross the ocean.
On behalf of all the devotees, I'd like to thank Maharaj for the Bhagavad class. And I'll request everybody to chant with me. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Jai Shri Krishna Mahārāja. Hare